Talk radio for Catholic life to start your day.
Morning Air
on Relevant Radio with Glenn Leverenz. Here's your host, John Harper.
Good morning. It's 5 minutes after the hour on Wednesday, March 11th, 2020. If you've been in the supermarket or the drugstore lately and you go down the aisle that has any kind of bleach or cleaning products, there's nothing there on the shelves, right? They're absolutely empty over fears over the coronavirus. But the question is, why? Why are we acting this way? Hoarding cleaning and sanitizing products. Coming up, we're going to look at the psychology of a pandemic. Also, Italy has been hard hit from the coronavirus. All public masses have been canceled through April 3rd. St. Peter's Square now closed to tourists, but Pope Francis did have his general weekly audience. It was streamed online. What the Holy Father had to say about the virus, and also what is day-to-day life like in Italy with much of the nation closed. We'll go live to Rome with Ashley Nerona coming up in this hour, and we're just about a week away from the halfway point of Lent. Father Mark Mathias is going to be here in a few minutes to talk about a Lenten booster shot that you and I can take today to keep us on track this Lent. That's all coming up, but as we start this brand new day, we begin in prayer. We invite you to join us for the morning offering. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. O Jesus, through the Immaculate Heart of Mary, I offer you my prayers, works, joys, and sufferings of this day for all the intentions of your Sacred Heart in union with the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass throughout the world, for the salvation of souls, the reparation of sins, the reunion of all Christians, and in particular for the intentions of the Holy Father this month. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. 7 after the hour now on Morning Air. As we go on the air, there are now 1,037 confirmed cases of the coronavirus here in the United States. 30 people have died. And of the countries affected around the world, the United States ranks as 8th highest. At Johns Hopkins University in Baltimore, they're tracking this. They say the number of people who have been tested positive for the virus continues to drop in China. That's a trend. And Johns Hopkins says the epidemic appears to be subsiding there. Dr. Anthony Fauci, I'm sure you've seen him on television, the director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, is the nation's leading expert on infectious diseases. On NPR yesterday, he talked about the process and the progress being made in developing a vaccine for the coronavirus.
We will have a vaccine in trial. Namely, we will be testing it likely within the next 4 to 5 weeks. That is not a vaccine for use. That's just testing if it's safe. Then when you show it's safe after an additional 3 or 4 months, then you've got to show it works. That's what we call a phase 2 trial. That takes at least another 6 to 8 months. We would not have a vaccine available for at least a year to a year and a half at best.
All right, so that's the timetable on that. But right now, as you and I go into the supermarket or the drugstore and you want to get hand sanitizer or something that says bleach on it, those shelves are empty. So what is the psychology of a pandemic? Let's take a look at that through the eyes of a mental health professional. Dr. Jim Schrader is a pediatric psychologist joining us from the Diocese of Evansville, Indiana. Dr. Jim, good morning. Welcome back. Why do we act the way we do in cases like this?
Well, you know what? The first thing that we have is that it's an issue of uncertainty. And so I think that when, as people this morning kind of understand the psychology behind this, it's that this is, like other things that occur over time, a very uncertain situation. You know, every year we know, sadly, that many people are going to get the flu, and sadly that thousands of people are going to die from it. But we also know that there is a vaccine that at least has some level of, you know, degree of effectiveness towards it. But here, we're dealing with something that's uncertain. As you just, you know, heard on the radio, I mean, they're still working towards the vaccine. And so the first issue of a pandemic from the psychology side is the uncertainty piece.
But there's also the gifts that the Holy Spirit has given us in terms of reason. And we understand that being pragmatic and using that gift of reason, if we take care of ourselves, if we stay out of crowded places, if we cover our mouths when we cough and sneeze, I'm not diminishing the impact of the COVID-19 virus, but just trying to be pragmatic here, that if you take some precautions, you're going to be okay. And most of the people are.
And that's true, right. Reasoning says, hey, look, I can take a number of steps, and we'll probably talk more about that here in a few minutes, and I can do things to keep us safe. But I think it's important for people to understand that very hardwired into us is this deep-seated intuition that when you deal with uncertainty, it's an unsafe situation. And so uncertainty naturally leads to anxiety, and it starts to feed a lot of it. And the more that we consume it, you know, the more that, and I think there's a piece here, honestly, that the more that we seek out information, oftentimes that actually increases the anxiety and not decreases it.
How can we get control of that anxiety?
Well, so a few things. One is just what you started to say. You have to ask yourself, okay, so what can I really control these situations and what can I not? And, you know, a few things that we can control. One is that when you do seek information out about this, make sure you're seeking out from trusted sources. There is so much going on around right now information-wise that's really unreliable, and it's causing, you know, it's why people are running to the stores and getting tons of toilet paper or other things, that we just see that there are a lot of information out there that's not, you know, a good source. So that's the first thing. The second thing is what you said, take reasonable health precautions, and take reasonable precautions when, you know, you're just operating in your normal space. But the third thing, and I will say this is hard, and this is where the media plays a significant role and a responsibility, is that we really do need to limit the amount of information that we seek out on this issue, because oftentimes when we seek out more and more and more information, the natural human psyche is to get more anxious about it. And so both as an individual, I would say, look, go to your sources that you see are reasonable, you know, whatever, you know, daily, maybe a couple times daily, but do not continue to seek out over and over and over amounts of information. I mean, for example, when I go on CNN, there might be 25 or 30 articles on their front page about the coronavirus right now. Honestly, if I want to read all of those, I can do that, but I'm probably going to increase my anxiety. And on the flip side, I really would appeal to all media kind of outlets to say, just work to be responsible about the way that you talk about this and how much you put out there.
I get thinking, Jim, will we look back on this kind of like the War of the Worlds broadcast in the 1930s when people actually thought the Martians were invading?
Right. Right. I mean, it's going to be a really interesting question. And, you know, and there's always this balance between, you know, not being concerned enough and, of course, being over-concerned. But I think that when we look back, we're going to say, wow, look at how much time was spent. And then ask yourself, when was that? How much of that time was productive and how much was unproductive? And I think in an individual's life, you know, if I was working for the CDC or, you know, the World Health Organization, obviously this is a significant issue that dominates much of what they do right now. But in an individual's life, one of the best things you can do is to, again, take reasonable precautions, get trusted sources of information, but go about your daily life as you would do normally. Because when you don't, and you start to pull away, and you do things so differently, and you change everything, the anxiety just ramps up dramatically. And I think that's where we're right in the middle of right now.
Maybe one of the blessings here is increased hygiene on behalf of all of us. We should be washing our hands and doing a little bit more, right, as we speak with Dr. Jim Schrader this morning on the psychology of a pandemic, given all of the news that you see over the COVID-19 virus. If mom and dad are anxious about the COVID-19 virus, what are they transmitting to the kids? And are we also going to grow another generation of worriers?
Yeah, you bring up a great point. I'll repeat this phrase, anxiety begets anxiety, you know, like many things. Anxiety leads to anxiety. And you're exactly right. If mom and dad are really, really anxious about this, and again, I understand, anxiety is part of the human condition. It's a natural response. But if mom and dad are conveying a lot of anxiety through the house and they're conveying it to their kids, and that's just a consistent theme that they're getting, those kids will inherit that. I mean, one of the biggest ways that we, you know, teach our kids isn't even just through what we say, but also through what we model. And I think that's really critical right now, as, you know, the schools and all of these kids are feeling the anxiety, is to have those in authority position as parents, teachers, principals, and all the way up the ladder to say, look, okay, you know what, there's reason to be concerned, and we as a, you know, a school, and we as a country, and we as a world are ramping up to address this. But one of the best things you can do as a kid is to, again, maybe increase your hygiene. But beyond that, let's go about our normal days. Because one of the things we have to remember, and this goes through the New Testament, is that anxiety is really the antithesis to fear. You know, obviously, reasonable anxiety can kind of keep us safe and preserve our life. But unnecessary anxiety, you know, I mean, again, we see throughout the Bible, we go back to that idea of not being afraid, and that's really a central theme. And we're in the middle of it right now, and I think it's critical that people, from a spiritual sense and a psychological sense, really harness the idea that one of the best things they can do is to manage their own anxiety.
And as a Catholic psychologist, as we talk about the psychology of pandemics in light of the COVID-19 virus, again, Jesus said, ask and you shall receive, that prayer of petition at Mass. Maybe we should attend Mass more often, many of us are during this Lenten season, but also to ask and pray for good health for you and your loved ones.
Right, for sure. I mean, do all the things that allow your faith to potentially have an influence on what's going on, but also do all the things that allow your faith to have an influence on you. You know, I think one of the things we often forget about is when we go to Mass, and we're praying for many different things. We're receiving our Lord in the sacrament. But we're also going to Mass because Mass, and this is speaking as a psychologist here, Mass has a real positive influence on our psyche. You know, I mean, when you sit down to Mass and you're able to immerse yourself in what's going on, normally what we see, and this often happens, we've seen this science-wise, is that there's a decrease in anxiety that's associated with prayer. And so I would argue that one of the great ways that God has built our minds and bodies is to say that our faith practices aren't only seeking out His divine source and His divine inspiration, but it's also really allowing our full image and of likeness of ourselves to come through and to create a peace of mind that really we all desire.
Psychologist Dr. Jim Schrader with us this morning on Morning Air. We're talking about the psychology of a pandemic. You have seen, and maybe you have done the same thing in terms of hoarding some hand sanitizer or bleach or cleaning supplies in light of the COVID-19 virus. Yesterday, I saw Governor Jay Inslee from Washington, and that really has been ground zero for the coronavirus. And it has been particularly difficult, especially among nursing homes in the state of Washington, and it's spreading. And he really laid out this doomsday scenario in a news conference that would scare anybody. If some of that comes to light and the virus is something that is even bigger in a week or two, will you and I have the same conversation?
I think we're always going to have this conversation, because here's the issue, is that when people lay out a doomsday scenario or whatever they do, they have to recognize that when they're talking to a huge constituency of people, they need to first and foremost say, here's what you can do, here's what you can control, and here's what you can't. And the element that makes this so scary for everyone is obviously the worst element is death, but the other elements are quarantine and things like that. The reality is, the sad reality is, well, let's go back to the flu. This occurs every year to many, many people, right? Many, many people die every year from the flu, and we don't seem to really have much of a reaction to that. I shouldn't say much, but not nearly the reaction we do to this. So I just think that when people, no matter what happens through all of this, even in the end, there's been horrible plagues and things throughout the world, but getting up and really invoking fear in people repeatedly that takes them beyond what they can control is not a helpful thing. So no matter what happens in this situation, I think there's a whole lot we can do to preserve a much greater psychological health. Because in the end of the day, those who do survive, no matter what happens here, are either going to carry on a legacy of fear or they're going to carry on a legacy of capability. And I don't think that we want people to carry on a legacy of fear for indefinitely.
Dr. Schrader, have we all become control freaks because we have our smart devices and we can just tap our finger and something happens, and we want to tap our finger and have something happen when it comes to things like the coronavirus?
Well, it is interesting. I mean, all the things we can control, all of a sudden this one kind of like throws a little wrench in that. I will say probably the more concerning thing about the mobile device is that you can get updates every 5 minutes about the coronavirus that you really aren't helpful for you at all.
Right, that's a mixed blessing, yes. Too much information, TMI.
Yes, too much. I mean, I just don't think that that's a helpful thing at all during our day or anything else like that. So, but yeah, you're right, exactly. We're used to controlling a lot in our hand, and we can't on this one, so.
Keeping you on top of the coronavirus story through the perspective of our Catholic faith and being very pragmatic about it as well, and giving you that perspective through all of our broadcasts here on Relevant Radio. Dr. Jim Schrader is one of those pragmatic voices. We're blessed to have him as part of our morning family. He's a pediatric psychologist based in the Diocese of Evansville, Indiana. Dr. Jim, thank you as always. Stay healthy.
Oh, yeah, you too. Thank you.
19 minutes after the hour. Speaking of health, how about our spiritual health? We're almost at the halfway point of Lent. I know. Where's the time going? How about a Lent booster shot? We've got one in 60 seconds on Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.